This is the Ghost Podcast, and I'm your host, Rosemary. Today, we have a guest that I am so excited about. I'm a huge fan of his podcast and his YouTube videos. He's an author, a dating coach, and he's an expert on midlife dating and explaining dating from men's point of view. Jonathan Astley, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so honored to be here talking about a subject that really kind of sucks. I'm sorry to say it that way, but dating or ghosting sucks.
It does suck. Can you give us a brief intro on your background and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So after turning 40 and going through a divorce about 15 years ago, I found myself back out in the dating realm, and I used to be in corporate insurance, and I actually got kind of addicted to online dating. It was like I became a serial dater. Because I was addicted to that excitement of a first date and feeling that chemistry and everything. And I'd meet this nice woman, it didn't work out. And I'd meet another nice woman, it didn't work out. And I'd say something was wrong. And after a year, I did 100 internet dates, and I realized that the something wasn't wrong was me. So I began studying relationships. But what was interesting, Rosemary, is I just began talking to women online, not even actually meeting them, and just developing friendships with women all across the country. And after a while, they would ask me questions. Jonathan, will you look at my dating profile and help me make it better? And I'm like, okay. And then a few weeks later, they'd meet a great guy and they go, hey, can you look at the guy's profile and tell me what you think about the guys? And I realized I had this knack for kind of like reading men. So from both, and particularly divorced men, because after going through this divorce, you know, I had this understanding of alimony, child support, visitation rights, which is so different for those that are in their 20s and 30s versus people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, midlife, most predominantly are divorced. So, and I gave my insights, and I began what I jokingly say, just like the FBI can profile serial killers, I could profile serial monogamists, serial daters, nice guy, bad boys, and the guy right for you. And so I immerse myself in reading every relationship book I could get my hands on. And one day I said, you know, I threw up a website. I created a little cheesy ebook called Online Dating Secrets Revealed. And next thing you know, 12 years ago, it's morphed into what I'm doing today. And I mean, there's more to the story, but I'm giving you that clip of the back version or the.
That's really interesting. I know what you mean about that online addiction. I just did a podcast with someone who described it as online shopping for a human. And yeah. I thought that was a really interesting analogy. It is that it's almost like that same dopamine rush when you are buying something online, just seeing what's next.
The irony is I shot a video this morning. It was about shoe shopping kind of thing. And particularly using that same analogy. And I do believe, and I think it's important to touch upon this, is that there's been dating is actually a relatively new phenomena. When you think about it, you know, if you go back in time, you know, from caveman days up until about 60 years ago, there really wasn't dating. And we called it courtship, but people used to meet and get married literally within 6 weeks or less. So whatever that courtship was, if that's what it really was, it wasn't really a dating. It was already a commitment to get married. So we are in a whole new realm. And I would say, you know, from the 70s, it used to be going out to nightclubs to meet people. And the 80s, that was kind of there was the bar scene in the 70s, the nightclubs in the 80s. And then in the 90s, the internet came into play. And that changed everything. And what I'm going back to dating, most humans don't recognize that dating is a process of getting to know another human being. But these days, it's more about filling the emotional void humans are feeling and the physical void people are feeling. And why that's so important to recognize is that's what's causing ghosting. And I know we're going to talk about that in a little more detail, but I think it's really important to recognize that humans are hurting inside and they're trying to fill the void. And we're using this dating mechanism to fill the void. And what's happening is we're almost at a point where I need you to love me so I can feel good about myself. And that's, it's really, you got to do it the other way around. It's, you got to work on loving yourself so you can invite in love from another person.
I love that. That is the theme of all your podcasts and something that really resonated with me when I listened to your videos. The first topic I want to talk to you about is really defining what is ghosting, because there's a different definition depending on who you talk to. And sometimes people call ghosting things like no contact or setting a boundary, which for the purposes of this podcast, we define it based on the Oxford Dictionary definition, which is the act of suddenly ending a personal relationship with no communication or reason. How does that fit in with your definition?
Wait, there's actually a definition in the dictionary.
There is. Yep. As of a couple of years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious, how does that fit in with your definition of ghosting, and what do you consider to be ghosting or not ghosting?
Well, if you think about the word itself, where it came from, a ghost disappears, right? So right in front of you, it's gone. Poof, it's gone. Now, the way I look at true ghosting is two people that have decided to explore a relationship with one another. And, you know, the definition of relationship can be a little bit sketchy, whether we're talking about boyfriend and girlfriend or casual, but it's an agreement. Two people have made an agreement. They're going to explore getting to know one another, and then poof, some one person is gone. It's no contact. It's no, it's either not initiating contact or not responding to contact, both on a technological base, what I mean is our smartphones, or in person. That's the way I define ghosting. I want to put a caveat though. It's really, on some level, there's the micro ghosting and the, you know, that's happening literally from first communication with someone, it's happening. But there's a big difference, because you can get over that pretty quickly. You know, if you've just been communicating with someone on a dating app, you've gone back and forth for maybe a week or so, and then they just disappear. You haven't had that much investment. I think the pain of ghosting comes when you've invested a bit of your heart or your body, and then them have it disappear. That is a traumatic emotional event.
Absolutely. There are so many people that have been traumatized. And what's really interesting is I've heard from people on my podcast that they feel so much more hurt, and it takes so much longer to get over ghosting than a normal breakup, almost out of proportion to even the time they knew someone, just because of that lack of closure, not knowing.
Yeah. And I say this on my YouTube videos frequently. So I wrote a book called What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway? And it's a journey of personal development, self-help, and spiritual work as a vaccination to emotional chaos. And I've learned over the years that the number one emotional health issue for most human beings is I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not likable. And what's interesting is dating triggers that like nobody's business. You know, because we are now in an environment, like I said, dating is a relative new phenomenon, but we're in an environment these days where there's a lot of starts and stops, starts and stops, starts and stops. And that wears on a human emotionally. By the way, when I say the word human, it's because I could say men and women alike. So I'm just want to differentiate. You know, this isn't, if you watch my channel enough to know how I feel about masculine and feminine energy, but that's another conversation. It affects us emotionally, whether you're a man or a woman. And so this is a real challenge that we're facing. It's a level of almost toxicity that when a person chooses not to communicate before, the ripple effect is a toxic event for the other person, most likely. Not always, but most likely.
Yeah, that's good insight. I've also heard that ripple effect from people who've been ghosted. All right, here is the million-dollar question I have for you. What everybody wants to know, why do people ghost?
Well, the pat answer is fear. The fear of basically telling someone you're not interested in them. that you've changed your mind, that you've had second thoughts. That's the predominant reason is fear. Fear, and men in particular, you know, there's an old saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. So if you open, and I'm not suggesting that's true or false, I'm just saying that it tends to be a narrative that, at least for my generation, we grew up in. If you tell someone you're no longer interested in them, the wrath might be so the subconscious says, well, let me take the path of least resistance. Rather than face that potential wrath, I'm just going to move on so I avoid the pain of telling someone I'm no longer interested in them. By the way, there is also most likely, now for some people, and for a small percentage of the population, it is a genuine mistreatment of that person. There's an intentionality with it, but that's a small percentage. I'd say the vast majority, the vast majority, it's fear.
Do you think it's tied to emotional maturity?
Oh, absolutely. And really, if we take emotional maturity, it really will take it to the level of relationship skills. Most human beings have terrible relationship skills. And what I mean by relationship skills, that ability to be vulnerable, authentic, and transparent, for your actions to match your words, for a level of what I call fighting fair, which means listening to another person's point of view and accepting a person's point of view as being true for them, and empathy. And empathy isn't just, I can feel your feelings. Empathy is, I care about your feelings. And ultimately, the real reason that this is happening is, believe it or not, there hasn't been enough trust built in the relationship. And so it fascinates me how human beings will give their bodies to one another before real trust is built. And trust means this, because this is why ghosting happens. Trust isn't about, do I trust this person will sleep with someone else? Do I trust that they'll be monogamous and exclusive? That's one level of trust. Real trust happens when your feelings matter to me as much as they matter to you. That's real trust. In other words, because a person will never ghost if your feelings matter to them as much as it matters to you. Think about your friends in your life. You genuinely care about their feelings, and you recognize your actions have consequences. So you're vulnerable, you're authentic, you're transparent, and you care about your friends' feelings. Well, people are engaging in relationships with minimal amount of trust built. Because today we're meeting total strangers. I think it's time to stop, you know, this whole narrative that chemistry equals relationship success. No, we're meeting strangers most of the time. And what did your parents tell you when you were a child with a stranger? Tell me, what did your parents say?
Don't talk to strangers.
Don't talk to stranger danger. You know, don't talk to strangers. So it's interesting, because we could know almost nothing about another human being. But 50, 100 years ago, you grew up in the same town. You know, your brother knew their brother, and they knew if you messed with that little sister, the brother was going to kick the crap out of you if you did anything wrong, or your parents knew their parents. So, you know, up until literally the last, at least here in the United States, it's different in other parts of the world. But for the most part, when you're meeting a stranger, you don't know their values. You don't know their backstory. You don't know their emotional health. By the way, that's always a tricky, but anyway. But it takes a lot more to get to know another human being. And that's part of the reason why ghosting happens, that piece of trust and that stranger component.
Along those lines, the concept that modern dating has really contributed to this rise in ghosting, but not just the rise of ghosting, but also the acceptance. I think it goes back to this perceived unlimited options. But in reality, it's not really unlimited options. It's the same options you had before. You're just connected to a lot more people. But you still, I think, have that small, same percentage of finding people you actually can connect and are compatible with as before. What are your thoughts on how dating today has contributed to the rise and acceptance of ghosting?
Going back to the options, certainly there's a lot of perceived options. And what I mean to say, there's this huge, because of online dating and dating apps, there's this plethora of people that you wouldn't otherwise meet in your daily life. However, I think it's important to stress this. If you ever saw the movie Sleepless in Seattle, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, they're sitting at a coffee table with a friend of theirs, and this is around 1990, and the friend says something along the lines, or maybe it was Rita Wilson who said it, I can't remember now. It's easier to be killed by a terrorist than to find love when you're over 40. Now, there's something important to look at that, because back then, you were literally only limited to the people in your visual acuity that you could meet, okay? And what changed in the mid-90s was this access to people that you wouldn't otherwise meet. So we are actually experiencing more relationships. I'm talking particularly the over 40 crowd, because in your 20s, you're in college, you're surrounded by single eligible people. And then when your friends start to get married, that changes right around the 30s. So in a way, it is better because of online dating. You have access to more people. The problem is, it's like walking into, you know, the Coliseum here in Los Angeles with 100,000 people. There's just, that's the perception. You have all these options. But as you pointed out, so it's not only, do you have chemistry? But do you share the same values? Are your lifestyles blendable? And then is this person even a grown-up enough to be in a relationship? Oh my gosh, it's like trying to find the one person out of 100,000 people in a stadium. And that in and of itself has created desperation, you know, choosing. And because people tend to focus on chemistry, and that chemistry equals relationship success, It's no wonder it's a shit show out there. So,
yeah, I have a question from one of my listeners who actually told me about your podcast in the first place. And she asked me to please ask you this question. So she was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the concept of the dysfunctional moonwalk and if you think that's a precursor to ghosting.
Okay. Yeah. So I never ghost a woman. Back in the past, I used to do what was the dysfunctional moonwalk. It's something I coined back in my first couple of years of dating after my divorce. And I didn't have the heart to ghost someone, but I didn't have the heart to be honest and say, you're just not the one. So the dysfunctional moonwalk is basically to dump all of your emotional problems on the other person with the caveat of, I'm just not ready for a relationship. So it's like, I'm going to lay out all the reasons why you shouldn't like me, my dysfunctionality. I'm going through a hectic divorce. My ex-wife calls me all the time. I'm dealing with my children and my work issue and my job and blah, 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 and all this stuff to undermine any confidence you might have in this person. And back moonwalk, meaning backtrack. So now the irony is, and this happened, I'm sorry, it's not a laughing matter. I'm just laughing at the fact that it's so frequent. Is the irony is, I'm not ready for a relationship, but that person is online dating the next day trying to find the next person. Because the reality is it comes back to the book, I'm just not that into you. I like part of who you are, but I'm not feeling enough to go the distance with you, whether it's my issue or your issue, whoever it is. So it's easier to do the dysfunctional moonwalk. It can be, I should say, than to be genuinely honest. And I've been honest with women. I know personally, I've said, look, I'm just not feeling an emotional connection with you. And that was painful for me to say.
Is this similar to the concept of men almost wanting you to break up with them so they don't have to do it?
Well, if I didn't emphasize that, that's exactly it. Okay. It's like, now the challenge with that is if you get that type of fix it woman, you know, that works in reverse. So, you know, they're going to do whatever it takes, but then you have to do the breaking up. But if a woman was strong enough in her power, it's like, run, Forrest, run. Like, you should run away from someone. And it amazes me, so many fix-it women out there will take on projects.
Yes, I used to be one of those women.
Okay. Well,
I think I've moved on from that.
Well, hopefully.
Okay, the next question I have, again, another question that everybody wants to know. Yeah, what can people do who've been ghosted? And is there any way to sort of look for signs or red flags to prevent being ghosted?
So just recognize, okay, first is just to simply recognize that that person's desire to cut communication isn't, from my perspective, isn't intentionally meant to hurt you. Is to really accept that that person most likely isn't intentionally meant to hurt you. And if it feels hurt, just remember that hurt people hurt other people, because it is a hurtful act. There's no doubt about it. But that person most likely is hurting or in some level of fear. And please remember, you're dodging a bullet when this happens, is to really just go, okay, I dodged a bullet. I mean, really, really sit with that and sit with gratitude. Thank you, God, universe, and spirit, to, you know, helping me move on. And this person's lack of courage is just help, you know, is a reflection that we are not meant to be together. Okay. And unfortunately, women in particular tend to give their power away to men, which is so what causes that? So what avoids that? What can you do? Is to never give your power away to man. And so one of the things I teach in my private coaching is all about what I call radical honesty. And that's what I call pre-qualifying your prospect. I know every dating coach on the planet will tell you never interview someone you're dating. And I'm like, bullshit. You interrogate a person before you go out with them. Now, that doesn't sound very sexy, and it might scare people away. Yes, it scares the wrong person away. And what I mean by interrogating, I mean, come up with a dozen good, solid questions. And that's what I teach based on a person's personality, to come up with those questions to ask to determine, is this person, at least, do we kind of share the same values? You want to get, you know, most people dating today is, how's your day going? Did you have a good day? I hope you had a good day. Like, they're all focused on how well the day is, instead of like the meat of a person, their values. Does this person's lifestyle fit in with mine? And then learning how to ask emotionally mature questions. And you can do this on the telephone before you meet. You can simply say, hey, you know what? Obviously, we're hitting it off on the phone. Do you mind if we ask each other some really serious questions before we invest in meeting with each other, just to see if we're a fit? And women oftentimes are afraid to do this, that they'll scare a guy away. If a man isn't willing to have that kind of conversation with you, then you got to ask yourself, how serious does he want a relationship? And by the way, I tend to talk, I'm not singularly making this about women. I work with women. So that's where my purview, my lens is from. And honestly, when you genuinely love yourself to a point of where, you know, all of this life is just an experience, and you can ask yourself, what positive things did I learn from this experience? You know, that's like one of the, you can ask yourself, what's the positive? Okay, I got ghosted. That really sucks. Okay, what did I learn from this relationship about myself? What was good and what am I most grateful for? Because the trauma bond we create oftentimes is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And can I fix it? Can I fix it? Can I change their mind? Can I do this? And the minute the person has moved on, that is closure. Everything else is a rationalization for one's ego. It's for one's little kid inside of them, because it's like mommy just left me. And I get it. It's a horrific emotional feeling from the little kid inside of us. But at the same time, and we are a society here in the United States with a lot of emotional children, men and women alike. I mean, this isn't singular to men, or, you know, we are just a society of emotional little children. They're infants. And the first thing to do is just to hug your little kid and say, I'm really sorry this happened. And you know what? To be the parent to your child and say, I'm really sorry this happened. I'm going to take care of you, and it's okay. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. And you know what? We're even going to be stronger and better. Let's not give our power away to what they did, and let's love on ourselves.
That's really great advice. Thank you for sharing that. The last question I have for you, Jonathan, is have you been ghosted? And if so, are you willing to share your story?
So from the context that we talked about before, there's one that came to mind. We dated 5 times and then she disappeared and we were sexually intimate with each other. So if that constitutes a relationship, then yes, that happened. And it really shocked me. It came out of the blue. You know, I was like, why aren't you returning? And I'm playing it in my head. Like, was it because when she fell down, I didn't rush to pick her up? And I remembered like we had this date and she fell while she was dancing. And we were both drunk or not drunk, but we had alcohol. And I was slow to, was it that, or was it, did I say this? I was playing this in my head. That's about the worst one, 5 dates. I've worked with women who have been in 5-year relationships that have been ghosted. And that's just, I mean, that's truly horrific. The worst is, I think one, you know, mostly it's usually you communicate with on the phone, you plan a date and they disappear kind of thing. That's been, and it's happened 6 times.
Micro ghosting, yeah. Jonathan, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Sure. So, and I've had a lot of fun and thank you so much. I haven't really delved in this conversation in quite some time. So this has been a blast for me. Folks, I don't know if there's a link below, but you can check out my YouTube channel. It's Jonathan Asley at YouTube. You can go to my website, jonathanasley.com, or I have a book that I mentioned earlier called, you can go to selflovethebook.com. The book is called What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway? And those are a couple of good places to catch me.
Yeah, and I'll definitely post those links in the show notes. And if you liked this episode, definitely follow Jonathan, subscribe to him. He's just got tons and tons of great advice, more of the same, even in more detail and more depth. So thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
And listeners, we want to hear your story. To submit a story for a future episode, you can find us on our website at theghostpodcast.com or on Instagram at theghostpodcaststories. Thank you for listening.